B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG! It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
So far in this series, Shen's line's got some 5-on-5 goals, so that's the part that why we made the switch. Tried to free him up offensively, try to lock down that line with Corrali. I suspect they'll want to go to that match. I'm not going to speak for them. They're going to go to that matchup in St. Louis. Looks like they want it here. So if that's the case, then that's a big challenge for Bergie, Marsh, and Pasa. They're typically up to it. They've always found their game. They don't usually go very long without being a factor. I don't imagine that'll change. I suspect in game three we'll see, you know, their best game of the series. But until that happens, and that's kind of speculation, but that's what I suspect will happen.
More casting on that first line. We continue with your thoughts at 617-779-0985. It's Felger and Maz, brought to you by the Bernardi Auto Group. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. Back to it, Steve in Illinois. What do you got for us on the Bees?
Hi, guys. Hey, game three coming up is going to be the Bruins' toughest game. The Blues are going to throw everything at them. This will be the hardest game we got to play. I think now Tuca has to steal one of these next two games. And, Maz, you are totally correct. Johansson is the best forward for the Bruins right now.
Okay, do you think Rask have to, quote-unquote, steal one? I'm beginning to wonder.
Steal might be a little strong, but they might have to win a game here in St. Louis where the tenor is similar to what it was in game two, but the Blues just can't score.
Okay, so tenor similar, but was that an offensive onslaught by St. Louis?
No.
I mean,
No, but if they're going to continue to get nothing from their top line and their best offensive player is Johansson or Sean Corrali, yeah, likely he's going to have to steal a game here. Because if they're getting no production from their best players, he's going to have to make some stops.
I'll tell you, the only part of this series so far where I thought the goaltending really mattered was, and in the positive, I mean, because I think Binnington has been shaky. You know, to me, he's okay. Like, I don't think he's anything special. At the end of the third period, I thought Rask came up big in the last game.
Sure did.
Because the Blues had them on their heels. The game was tied. You know, you're essentially playing overtime there, or for all intents and purposes, and Tuca made a couple of big stops. Now, he also caught a break. You know, one rang off the post from Gunnarsson. He ended up scoring later. But there was a big stop on Maroon there, and I thought Tuca was good. That was the only time in the series where I thought where he bailed them out a little bit. And so you might have more of that here. I mean, you're on the road. Your goalie's going to have to play well.
I don't know if St. Louis is capable or even wants to have that sort of
onslaught,
constant, steady pressure on net. I think they want to constantly pressure you in the corner and behind your net, but they don't want to attack like Toronto would or one of those teams would, where Rask did. Even for crying out loud, you know, there was a Columbus game that he stole in Carolina.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just don't know if any game is going to look like that in St. Louis with the odd man rushes and that sort of thing. That being said, I would like to see the puck not go in from the half wall and not go in from the blue line. And I'm not blaming him for it. I'm just telling you, the puck shouldn't be going in from there, whether it's screened or tipped or not. It just shouldn't be going in. So if that's a commentary on him, I guess it is kind of. John in Danvers. Go ahead, John.
Hello. How's it
going? Hi, John. We're good. What do you got?
I just wanted to weigh in on this Berube. I think he's an evil genius. I'll tell you why. The NHL rules are outdated. You have 20 men dressing. When these rules started back in the 50s or 60s or whenever it was, you didn't use the fifth defenseman much. You didn't use the fourth line much. Now you need every one of these players. They have to expand this to have a John Moore, a Kuhlman on the bench ready to play if someone's injured. He's using this. He gets people out. He did it in the San Jose series. He injures people, knocks them out. He's going to advantage the whole game.
Okay, John, your phone's kind of crapping out, but it's another good point. I told you this yesterday. Ruby's nickname when he played was Chief because he collected scalps. This is someone who, as a player, took people out. And his team, this playoffs, has taken people out.
Oh, I think this is, I don't think he's an evil genius. I think he's a brute and a bully. That's what he is. I don't think there's anything all that smart about it. I think it's just, we're going to beat the crap out of you, and if you can't show up for the next game, that's your problem. Like, that is absolutely their approach. It's like the,
to the point you got put 22 guys on the bench now. I mean, I don't know if I'm into that.
But I'm sure he looks at Sundquist as just a pawn. It's not like that was Braden Schenn or someone that's really important to this team offensively that they're going to lose for a game. It's a guy that say, hey, all right, if you happen to run one of theirs and they end up, shorthanded on defense, good job. We'll see you when you come back. It's just a one game suspension. I don't think that that's necessarily planned. But I also don't think that he's looking at that and the rest of the Blues looking at that as like a big loss. That's a win for the Blues. That is obviously, well, at least in game two, that obviously affected the Bruins. And if he's out for the rest of the series, Matt Grzelcyk, it's going to affect them.
See, but you know what? I don't think the Bruins are upset about that. I think the Bruins know that. In fact, I think every team in the league knows it going in. That when you're playing in the hockey playoffs, you're going to lose people. That's the deal. This is why you go out and sign a John Moore and you pick up a Steven Kampfer, and this is why you have 8, 9, 10 defensemen. Because the Bruins were lucky to get to this point without losing one. That's the reality of it. Like, there are some years we've seen them get in and you got bodies dropping in the first round. Like, you're not going to make it through without losing defensemen.
Andy in the car. Hi, what do you got for us?
Hey, guys, I wanted to talk a little bit about, I think tomorrow the big thing is how well Cassidy adjusts, okay? You know, throughout all this playoff run here, I have watched the Bruins, who are terrible, getting the puck out of their own end. I don't know what he's coaching. I watched the other game last night, the night before, too many men on the ice again, okay? And he's watched his first line crap through the whole playoffs here where they just, all you hear is shoot the puck when you go, you talk to people, shoot the puck. So I think the upper hand is with Berube, and I think that Cassidy has to come up with something tomorrow night.
Fine. Fair enough. Put him on the list. No problem with that.
Berube?
Yeah, I knew he was talking about. But the coach is on the list. You should win this series. And if you don't, it's on the players and the coaches. Period. Jeff in Somerville. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, guys. Listen, I want to tell you what's driving me nuts about Tuukka Rask. And nobody is talking about it. You kind of sort of danced around it before you talked to the guy in John and Dan, as I think it was. And that is, all the opponents, especially St. Louis, knows. Screen the slow Bruins defense, and if that doesn't work, well, just wait for Tuukka to drop to his knees. Will you please get off of your knees? He's always down on his knees. You look at the goal in the first period in game one, he's on his knees. You look at the overtime goal. Tuukka's down on his knees. He prematurely panic, goes down to his knees, and tries to look around the screen. And they're always scoring up high on him. You can't make a save up high on the net when you're down on your knees. You just can't react quick enough. And it's driving me nuts. I wish somebody would say something to him. Please, stand.
Right, Jeff. Oh, I'm sorry, Jeff. Well, let's do it, you and I. Because you know what? I agree. The point shot from the blue line, why do you have to be in the butterfly out there?
You don't. I mean, the only answer is that you're screened and you're trying to cover as much of the net as you can. So,
the screen that bad? Petrangelo was there in the high slot, but it's like he had three guys in front of him. I don't know.
Well, he might have been in the right spot.
Tell me, trust me. Look, you deserve to lose. The Blues were a better team. He was obviously screened on the play. But go back and watch it. It's a clean slap shot from the blue line. And there was one guy in front of Rask. Not like four. One. And a big dude, it was Petrangelo, who, because they were on the 6-on-5, went down there. It's just, I don't know. I don't know. And if he's standing up on the first one, it hits him in the shoulder. The puck's on the half wall, and he's on his knees. So the puck had gone through the crease. It was a cross-ice pass. And so he was on his knees tracking it, which is they all do. And then it gets to the half wall, and he stays down there. If he's up, no matter how it's tipped or whatever crazy bounce it takes, it's not going in. It's a bad angle from the half wall. And he's sort of down there small on his knees. I don't know. It's his style. He's been brilliant. I'm not getting on him. I'm not. I'm just telling you what happened on those goals.
But I'll tell you, Beers mentioned this after game one. If you think about it now, four of the goals have come to his right. And they've all been high on that side. Now, look, the Tarasenko goal in the last game was a little fluky, right? He kind of just chopped at it as he was falling away, and it went mm-hmm. there. But the first two goals in game one, Schenn and Tarasenko, same spot, and the slapper by Gunnarsson in the last game in overtime.
Blocker side.
Same spot. Absolutely high. and high, right? Not just like, so maybe the Blues are onto something there. Maybe they saw something in the first couple of rounds. It, you know, it used to be Tuca's glove side, right? And now maybe he's tightened that up, and now they got an opening on the other side. I don't know, but maybe they're onto something.
Josh in Haverhill. Hi, Josh. What do you got?
Hey, fellas. I know you're up against it. So I heard after game two that the Bruins might have an advantage against the Blues because the Blues don't play as well at home as on the road. I don't know if that still even factors in, considering there's 2 days off. And just objectively looking at it without a homer take, aren't the all three of you can agree, aren't the Bruins just a better team? That if they don't cash in with this roster with Bergeron, Marchand, Pasternak, that, you know, it's they kind of fail there.
Yep. Yep. They lose this series, it's a fail. Fail.
It'd be a bad loss after the year they've had in the road they got.
Fail. It's a fail. They have to win this series.
And with the seas parting the way that they did in the Eastern Conference, yeah, it'd be a massive fail.
Have to win this series. And I'm not, and in the same breath, I'll tell you, I respect St. Louis, and it's going to be a hard series and all of this. You can't lose it. Can't lose this series. Sorry. Just can't. What's the first thing that he said?
I don't remember.
When you give me more than one thing. Because I wanted to comment on that first thing. Anyway, Tom in the car. Hi, Tom.
And the road.
Oh, the road. Yeah, I had something for you. The Blues are only 5-5 at home in the playoffs. Loud as the building is, I just walked in there. It's big. It's much bigger than it feels bigger than the Fleet Center. It's like, I think it is a 20,000 seat stadium.
Yeah.
And obviously the Fleet Center is what, 17 and a half, 18? It sort of feels it. It's big. Big building. I bet it's going to be off the wall, and it doesn't scare me one bit. Doesn't scare me one bit. And in some ways, maybe that will help the Bergeron-Marchand line where they stop trying to make a highlight reel goal every time. You know, it's on the road, so you're not trying to impress anybody. You're just trying to prevent the goal against. And, well, anyway, despite the atmosphere, the Blues are only 5-5 at home. Bruins, I think, are 6-2 on the road in the postseason.
They are 6-2 on the road. I know, the other stat I saw that worries me a little bit is that the Blues are, what, 9-3 in one-goal games now?
Yes.
In the postseason?
So that's a big one,
too. And the Bruins are 3-5? So, you know, again, I just think these games are going to be tight, and I am a little worried that the Bruins are starting to take a beating. And I'm talking about the postseason as a whole now.
Yeah.
Like that, it's starting to pile up. I'm a little worried about that.
Tom in the car, do you agree with that? Are the Bruins taking a beating?
Yeah, but I'm going to put a little different slant on it, though. It's definitely a physical beating, and that's going to take its toll. But, you know, and Mike, you know, you played, you know, I played a little bit, but obviously Pee Wee doesn't count, right?
Thank you. It doesn't count.
It's got to be exhausting for the Bruins to have a body leaning on them all the time, right? Every time you go into the boards, it's not just the hit you're absorbing. It's the amount of energy you have to expend round after round, shift after shift with your legs, with your core. And, yeah, are they in shape for that? I don't know. Did they play a St. Louis team, seven-game series? So I think from a physical standpoint, I think it's going to go seven. I think it's going to be 2-1 going back to Boston.
Okay, Tom, we'll save the predictions for later. The thing is, they leaned on you a pretty good bat in game two. In game one, you had a lot of room.
Yeah.
So you didn't get the snot beat out of you for two games.
No, one.
You got the snot beat out of you for one game.
Yeah.
So let's not overplay this.
No, so I will say, though, in the last game, too, I did notice that the Bruins, even when they got the puck, there was someone on them constantly. I mean, you know, that you could see them getting frustrated that they weren't getting space to operate. They had to fight constantly for the puck. Constantly.
We continue with your thoughts at 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG, it's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
So far in this series, Shen's line's got some 5-on-5 goals, so that's the part that why we made the switch. Tried to free him up offensively, try to lock down that line with Corrali. I suspect they'll want to go to that match. I can't. I'm not going to speak for them. They're going to go to that matchup in St. Louis, looks like.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Stanley Cup Finals play here. Felger and Maz are in St. Louis, sponsored by Revise Energy on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Left of the net, centers, Coyle shoots, he scores!
Ozek, all through the blue paint, it went wide, here's a drive, they score! Bortuzzo!
Backhand, they score! How about the poise out in front from Joe Keith Nordstrom? He delayed, got Bennington to commit, and then shoved it between his legs. 2-1 Bruins.
Schwartz with Tarasenko. Shoots, rebound, save, Rask, and the Blues score! Tarasenko!
Watch Brad Marchand. This is a 2-on-2. He comes over. Now all of a sudden it becomes a 2-on-1. Once Marchand went at Tarasenko, he's either got to get the puck or the man. He got neither.
Yeah, we need to be better. I mean, personally, I wasn't good the last two games, so we can't be playing like that.
Oscar Sundquist comes in and smashes Grizzlick. I mean, hard. He sees numbers, and you're going to see Oscar Sundquist's elbow kind of pops Grizzlick right in the back of the head.
Gunnarsson high slot, fires and scores. Carl Gunnarsson from long range. Rask trying to look through the screen. That one sizzled inside the far post. And the St. Louis Blues have beaten the Boston Bruins in game two, 3-2 in overtime to even the Stanley Cup final series at one game apiece.
First game, we weren't happy. Today, we came out, you know, flying. I think we played a great game for 60 plus minutes. And, you know, that's just the team we are. We come back like that. We never give up. Yeah, just for me to put it in there and get the winner, it's just, yeah, it's a great feeling.
We got a veteran group. They'll bounce back. They'll be ready to go. I don't think at this time of the year, the venue will, I mean, I'm sure it'll help St. Louis, but from our point of view, we'll play wherever they tell us to, and we just got to play better.
All right, Jimmy Stewart's look back at game two. And one of my lead takes today here on Agenda Free Friday, Felger Maz coming to you from St. Louis, right outside the Enterprise Center, where Bruins and Blues play game three tomorrow, the Stanley Cup Final. We'll have you covered with the pregame show tomorrow as well. We'll be on from 4 to 7.30 Eastern Time tomorrow and Monday before Game 4 as well. So, Felger Maz taking over St. Louis. But my leadoff take today on Agenda Free Friday was the coverage of this series. And I'm creating a little bit of a straw man, but I read a headline today in the Globe that scared the bejesus out of me. It scared the crap out of me. And I'll give you the headline first. Bruins and Blues bang away at each other, and people are getting hurt. Then the little subhead says, the series has been brutally physical through two games. Will NHL officials do anything to curb that? And I read that. I said, ugh. The nanas are out. As Murray would say, the old nanas. Just the way that was worded. Bruins and Blues bang away at each other, and people are getting hurt.
And by writing that, what that guy is saying, or anyone that feels
so
that way.
So it's a headline writer. It was the Matt Porter story. So it's whoever the headline in the newspapers, the editors write the headline. So whatever editor over there.
But you know the world we live in. I don't think that you're building a straw man. I'm sure there are some people that feel like, oh, this is too much. It's too violent. Oh, the head injuries. Look, this is what the game used to be. This is what it should be. This is what it is at this point. And by writing that, and if you feel that way, what you're actually saying is, I want the officials to actually step in here and gum this up, which is not what anybody wants. You'd be a fool to want that at this point.
Scares.
I actually don't even think it's been that bad yet.
It hasn't.
I mean, there was the one hit, right? Really? But was there another one that we looked at and said, ooh, that's vicious?
No. Well, there have been two. So Krug took out.
And the Krug
thing, but that was clean.
Robert Thomas, but he was hurt and he's out. Next game, one of their guys hits one of your guys. Now he's out. Bruins, Blues bang away at each other, and people are getting hurt. Oh, I just think that's such loaded, like, playing on the heartstrings. People are getting hurt.
Yeah, and I said, I want the opposite.
People.
I want an eye for an eye.
People are getting hurt out there, people. We have to do something. The series has been brutally physical through two games. Will NHL officials do anything to curb it? So it's almost like the Globe headline writer here. And this is just the online edition. It wasn't in my paper. Because like grapes, I still get the paper. The online, it's almost like they're saying, someone has to look at this.
Yeah, someone has to put a stop to it.
Someone has to look at this.
Yeah.
This
is barbaric.
Right. This isn't right. The league has to look at this. I said, oh, no. No. Don't. This thing's getting nice and violent. This thing's getting some hatred now. We're getting some back and forth. This is good. This is the good stuff. But now someone's going to step in. Some Nana. Whatever. The Globe's going to step in and say, well, we got to look at this. And again, Matt Porter doesn't really write at that. The headline was worse than the actual story, as usual. But he points out, that Torrey Krug took out Robert Thomas, and then Oscar Sundquist took out Matt Grizzlick. And now here we are. He says, so what now? Will officials continue to let the teams extract a pound of flesh? Or is this eye for an eye business done now that two players are injured, one on each side? Both the Bruins and the Blues got here by playing hard and physical. And Matt Porter says the bet here, it will get uglier. Does he approve or disapprove? He doesn't say. Feels like the headline writer disapproves.
Oh, yeah. It definitely feels like the headline writer disapproves. I don't want to stereotype headline writers.
It's
a sanctimonious element there.
It's some goopy liberal at the Globe who I'm used to the goopy liberalism in the news coverage. I'm fine with that. Like, I accept that. Stay away from my hockey game, would you please? Go back to whatever. Go back to the other stuff and leave the hockey to the hockey. People are getting hurt. People are getting hurt. Bruins, Blues bang each other, and people are getting hurt.
Yeah, it's beautiful, isn't it?
I thought that was supposed to be.
It's a beautiful thing. Yeah. I agree.
I thought that was the idea.
Oh, God.
I mean, to me, this is what happens.
Like, I thought that was the idea.
Yeah, look, again, I think this is part of what it is. You take, part of the series is hitting the crap out of each other and see who can hold up. That's part of what the series is. I don't think there's been anything overly cheap in this series. I mean, there have been a couple of stupid things. Again, the Sundquist, we even said there was borderline. And then the Sundquist penalty in game one on Clifton was stupid, but it wasn't, it wasn't a threat of hurting him. And so I don't think there's been anything that I would categorize as like.
No, it's fine. It was physical. It was nice and physical, and that was a great game. Even in a Bruins loss, it's hard to look at it that way, but it was a great game. Has this series been brutally physical, as they say?
Game two is pretty physical.
Not brutally.
Brutally?
No. This gets into semantics. I don't think it's been dirty. To me, that's all that matters.
It hasn't been.
As long as it's not dirty, you let it go.
Ay, ay, ay. So that just scared me. Do people have their intent? And does the league feel the same way? Is the league now hypersensitive to this stuff? Are they hypersensitive to, as everyone is?
Well,
now,
know the answer to that.
To headshots and concussion and concussions and the image of the league, and it's their big stage. And
I don't know. I feel like they're the outlier of the big sports. They really haven't bent over backwards for the outrage enthusiasts and those that have been like hysterical about head hits.
Are you sure?
Kind of I feel like
they've
that.
Given ground, though. Yeah, they've given a lot of ground.
Look, that was eventually going to happen, but. I don't know. I remember there was a story. This is going back like 5-6 years ago. But there was when it was like peak CTE madness, and when it really started to start with the NHL, that there were these outrage enthusiasts and people online that were trying to go to the sponsors, the big sponsors of the NHL, or at least trying to go to Gary Bettman and say, like, you have to fix the league. Fix the league. And Bettman essentially told them all to go F themselves.
Bettman, I think even recently, now that you say this, I think he denies the relationship between head hits and CTE. Or hockey and CTE, like the NFL's grudgingly admitted, like, all right, it hurts your brain. I don't think Bettman has done that. I think Bettman has said that there's no conclusion. So he's like a denier. He's like a CTE denier, which...
CTE truther.
He's a truther. Yeah. He's a CTE truther, which to me, again, I'm sorry, Globe. This makes me a barbarian, but I'm glad. I mean, for the sport to be at its best, there has to be an element of danger and violence. It's just the way it is. People are, hey, Globe, people are going to get hurt. I hate to break it to you. People are going to get hurt.
Again, I think this is all part and parcel to the playoffs. The players all know this going in. They know what it's going to be like. They understand it. They go in and say, no, no, this is why we don't play this way during the regular season, because we know what sits at the end. And we know that at the end it's a different game and that people are going to hit us with the idea of knocking us out. That's the idea. That's what the whole thing is. They all understand that. I don't think there's any gray area there.
Okay, so there's a little reset there. There has been some breaking news today related to the Bruins lineup. Who's in or who was in today at practice or who was out? That's some fumbling around here. The news is who sat out Bruins practice today, and what does that mean? What's the status there? Here's the latest with Murray and some good NBA rumors as well, both of which we'll get to coming up here on Agenda Free Friday. First, the news.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
On the road for the Stanley Cup Finals. Felger and Mass, sponsored by Revise Energy on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It is important to note that the boarding rule places the onus to deliver a legal check on the hitter. Therefore, while we acknowledge that Grizzlick does adjust his body position in making a play on the puck, he does not do so in a way that absolves Sundqvist of responsibility for the nature of this hit. From the moment Sundqvist hits the bottom of the faceoff circle until contact is made, Sundqvist sees nothing but Grizzlick's numbers. This is not a situation in which a sudden and unexpected movement by the player receiving the check turns a legal hit into an illegal one at the last moment. To summarize, this is boarding. Grizzlick suffered an injury on the play. Sundqvist has been neither fined nor suspended previously in his 144-game NHL career. The Department of Player Safety has suspended Oscar Sundqvist for one playoff game.
Yep, people are getting hurt. People are getting suspended. Can the league stand for this? And they point out there that Grizzlick got hurt. Let's see how hurt. I told you the very first second, I smelled a rat immediately when it was reported that night in real time that he went to the hospital. But as soon as I heard that, I'm like, oh, really? He did. And you're letting us all know that, aren't you? 101, you play up the injury until try and get as long a suspension as possible. Now that the suspension has been meted out, one game for Oscar Sundqvist, we'll find out just how hurt Grizzlick is. Would not surprise me one bit, not one bit, if he's in the lineup for game four. Would not surprise me.
I mean, I wouldn't rule that out. Again, I told you when I saw the reporting of it, it said he didn't fly with the team, so I instinctively thought, well, that means he's not playing in either one. But it said, the report also said they haven't ruled him out for game three or four. Now, Cassidy has since said today that Grizzlick's not going to play game three, right? They got more in there. But game four?
I would not be surprised one bit if he flies out here and is ready for game four.
Of course,
I'm not calling for it. I'm just telling you, it wouldn't surprise me. Back to your calls, as promised. Here's Derek and Taunton. Hi, Derek.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good, man.
I just can't believe the panic. I really can't. Here we are, winners of eight straight, going in here, and the Blues, who outplayed us, you know, beat us up, probably played their best game. We probably played our worst, and they still nicked us by a goal in overtime. And the only reason why they got in overtime is the crazy deflection into the top corner, and then Marchand's bozo play on the blue line, you know what I mean? And then he loafed back and just, I don't know what the hell he was doing. But I mean, luckily for us, it's not about, physicality is a big part of the game, but the game comes down to putting the puck in the net.
All right, Derek. Derek, you're not worried, right?
No, I'm not worried. Honestly, I don't see it going seven. I really don't.
Okay, I'll just cut you right there.
You might be right.
Mazza Murray, are you panicked? Are you worried?
No,
I'm not panicked. No, what I'm worried about, though, is that the longer the series goes, the more beat up the Bruins are going to get. And again, I just think if we're talking about strength now, size and strength, I think they have more. Okay, that's all. That's all I'm saying. So, the Grizzlick injury adds that. Obviously, if he didn't get hurt, I might feel differently. But they took a beating in game two. Now, the other thing is, though, listen, I get the game's on the scoreboard. But the Bruins get outplayed in game two. So if we're going to sit here and start saying, well, the only reason they won it, they kicked your ass in game two. Give it to them. Okay, the only reason the Bruins had the lead is because the goalie let two pucks go between his legs.
So, they scored the goal in overtime. You understand, in overtime, the shots? Here are the stats in overtime. Shots, 4-0 Blues. Shot attempts, 8-0 Blues. Hits, 5-0 Blues. Takeaways, 2-0 Blues. They completely dominated you.
No, you know what that was like? It was like a Patriots overtime playoff game. The other team never touched the ball.
Exactly.
That's what it was like. Yeah. Really, they had it the whole time. It was unbelievable.
They won the coin toss. Tim in the car, what do you got for us?
The Globe is right. They should go to Nerf sticks and Nerf pucks because people might get hurt.
I'm with you. Usually the liberal bashing, I tell you to call Howie. You want to bash the Globe and their liberalism and the goofy soccer moms over there and all that? I tell you, call Howie. I don't know his number, but you want to pull the angry old white guy thing? Call Howie. I'm not telling you you're wrong. I'm just telling you, you got to call somebody else.
Time to pad the boards.
On this one?
And bubble wrap.
Call me. You can call me. Keep your goopy liberalism to the news, please. Bruins and Blues bang away at each other, and people are getting hurt. They make it sound like it's some sort of societal problem. People are getting hurt. What do you mean people are getting hurt?
No, people in the stands.
Mothers and children are being separated. Kids are going hungry. People are getting hurt. No. It's hockey. He took a hit to the back. He'll be fine. Trust me, he'll be fine. Maybe not later on in life, but again, he's a consenting adult. This is his deal. He knows what he's in for. People are getting hurt.
Like, you know, not to spin off in this direction, but this gets back to the whole thing we've had with football.
Well, and
sooner or later, these guys are going to sign waivers. And you know what? The players will all do it.
Of course they will.
And every single one of them will do it because they love it. They live for it.
Will NHL officials do anything to curb it? We have to curb the violence.
Don't watch it, babies.
Oh, God.
People are getting hurt.
I did. In the airport this morning, I read that. I said, oh, here we go. Here we go. They're going to pee on what's becoming a nice, violent, angry, acrimonious series. They're going to get in the way of it.
When we don't play on Sunday, what we call violence, crime goes up.
Grant in Needham. Go ahead, Grant.
Hey, thanks for having me. So I'd really like to see Pastrnak on the Johansson-Coyle line, and I think Heinen actually pairs up better with Marchand and Bergeron because they're going to do what they've done for years, and she's a smart player. He's going to make the right plays. And then I think the third line is a little more physical, and I think Pastrnak's not going to be as liable there to be okay. As defensive.
Would you make big lineup changes, Maz, if you're Cassidy?
No, I wouldn't, actually. I wouldn't. And look, he did some of that in the last game. That's why I was sort of, you know, nodding. That Heinen actually did move. They did a little bit of that.
And Pastrnak went to crazy for a couple shifts.
Yeah, honestly, if I'm Cassidy, I start where, I start with my regular lineup, assuming health. That I have all the people in the places they normally are, and I see how it goes. And, you know, I'm starting to buy into more and more this whole idea that they're on the road, and you know what? Maybe they'll simplify it. Maybe those guys, you from a matchup standpoint, they say, well, we don't have to worry about chasing the matchup that we want.
We're
getting these guys, so let's just play, and they don't have to worry about it. And that maybe that actually will help them. I mean, we've seen that happen before.
No question about it. So we have our Bruins items on the board. This is an agenda-free Friday. We did a little Red Sox earlier. We can circle back to that. Some juicy NBA rumors every day. Every day there's some NBA rumors. We'll get to that coming up next with your calls. It's Felger and Maz from St. Louis.
Felger and Maz. The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz are in St. Louis for the Stanley Cup Finals. Sponsored by Revise Energy on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
What's the latest on Kyrie?
The latest that I've heard is that it's between Brooklyn and the Lakers.
Wow!
And I've heard that the Lakers and Kobe Bryant... Now, Kobe told me or indicated to me that he was not involved. That he was, hey, that's their deal. I'm not part of it. But I was told in the last 24 hours, Kobe has been busy recruiting Kyrie in particular to try to get him to the Lakers. Now, everything that I've heard, I would still expect that Kyrie is is going to go to Brooklyn. That's the odds-on favorite.
Because he grew up in Jersey, like the Nets.
And if we're going to continue our real estate, he just bought a place in South Orange.
Okay. So.
Hey, Rick Bucher from earlier in the week, Agenda Free Friday here from St. Louis. We're mostly all Bruins. But we do just want to mix this in because there was another good report today. Meaning good, meaning something to chew on. And it's going to get me to bitch about another headline. It's headline day here on Felger Maz. Steve Kreiler covers the NBA for Basketball Insiders. I don't know him or Basketball Insiders, and I don't care.
Blue check mark, and there's no R. Steve Kreiler.
Steve Kreiler.
Whatever.
50,000 followers.
Steve.
Basketball Insiders. Blue check mark. Going with it. He writes, "All I can tell is what's happening behind the scenes. ... Boston is not operating like a team focused on Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis. In fact, the things they are exploring run counter to a Davis and Irving future." Now, I wish you would follow up and say, well, just what are those things?
Right.
But it would lead you to believe maybe they're in on trade talks for a big guy and a point guard. Or they're in preliminary talks, and I guess they're not allowed to do it. But let's face it. NBA free agency is occurring right this second.
Oh, yeah, absolutely it is.
It's right now.
Sure it is.
If, in fact, it's not already over.
I was just going to say, it's probably over already.
It might be over, but at the very least, it doesn't start on July 1. It's happening right now with LeBron clubbing with Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis going to Nobu with whoever in Los Angeles and David Griffin sitting down with Anthony Davis and blah, blah, blah. Okay? It's going on right now. So this guy says, based on what they're doing, everything runs counter to Davis and Irving's future in Boston, which means I think they're, you know, maybe they're in on Clint Capella with Houston. Maybe they're in on Chris Paul, for all we know. Right? Maybe they're talking to Houston about Chris Paul and Chris Paul and Clint Capella.
Sure. Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
How would you feel about that? How would you feel about those two with these young, you know, being able to keep Tatum? And I don't know what it would take. I don't know. It feels like Houston's doing a salary dump, but.
Yeah, neat. You're a four seed still.
You're yeah, not, like, not
you're
good
another
enough.
Middler.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Not good enough.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
With what? The collection of young suck that's never going to amount to anything?
Wait, so Tatum and Brown are now young suck?
Like, please, come on.
Why didn't you say that today when Jason Tatum was sitting right next to us on the plane, Murray?
Because I was just about as miserable as he was on the flight out here. So
Murray didn't want to get stomped on.
Yeah. Tatum was on our flight out here at St. Louis. This is what I'm saying. Tatum, Brown, Paul, Capella, Hayward, Horford, I don't know, maybe, you know, maybe probably some of those guys have to go for salary. But anyway, those four?
Not good enough.
Not good enough for what?
To win a championship.
You don't think anything's good enough.
No, but that's not good enough. That's not good enough to win a championship.
But if those
no.
guys get better and they're released from this cloud of Kyrie Irving.
So again, the team will be better. I don't doubt that. But you're not going to be good enough to win a championship. I mean, depending on what happens in the rest of the league, I suppose you leave that out. I'm still not convinced you beat Milwaukee. But nonetheless, like, you know, I either want to be great or not.
Yeah, but you're, you know.
I understand my standard is different.
Fitting into your mail slot that you consider great is so thin. It's a freaking postage stamp.
Yeah, well, that's what it takes to win a championship in that league, though. It's a thin mail slot. So, you know what? You're threading a needle. That's what you're trying to do.
Okay, here's what I love. Here's my headline bashing. I've joked that. Anyone nationally who has reported on anything with NBA free agency has Kyrie to the Nets, Kyrie to the Knicks, Kyrie talking to LeBron and the Lakers, Kyrie as an outside shot, maybe it's the Clippers, who knows, Kyrie Irving and this team, Kyrie Irving and that team, but never the Celtics, never the Celtics. The only people who've been talking Celtics and Kyrie Irving work at NBC Sports Boston.
Where the rights holder.
Where it's like, they're all in the group text, right, Jimmy? And it's NBC Sports, it's... Like, NBC Sports Boston is operating in a parallel universe. Okay, so we just gave you the two latest reports. Rick Bucher says Kyrie between the Nets and the Lakers, and he just bought a house in Orange. This fella on Basketball Insiders says everything Celtics are doing points to no Kyrie Irving, no Anthony Davis. Headline on NBC Sports Boston currently.
This ought to be good.
How KD and AD could join Kyrie in Boston.
Oh, my God. You've got to be kidding me.
Just keep doing you, guys. Just keep doing you.
So now they got Durant coming, too?
Now NBC Sports Boston has us with not just Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis, but Kevin Durant joining them. That's the headline. You go click on the story. It's not.
Is there a photo of Kevin Bacon from Animal House singing, yelling "All is well" too with the story?
It's not misleading. The headline's not misleading because, well, the second headline says Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, and Kyrie Irving on the Celtics? Question mark. It's not impossible.
Oh God.
I love you guys. I mean it. You're cute. You're cute. Just keep doing you. Just all season long. Of course he's staying here. Of course he's staying here. Why would he ever go to the Lakers? Why would he ever go to the Lakers? Why would he go to the Knicks? It's a dumpster fire. Why would he ever go to the Lakers? The Knicks. The Lakers are a dumpster fire. The Knicks are a dumpster fire. All the hours and time we've spent on this TV network bashing those teams. He's gone to one of those teams. No, but look, hold on. This is what I want to say. Maybe they're right. Maybe the folks at NBC Sports Boston are right. And, you know, everybody else is wrong. I don't know. I personally have no knowledge. I'm not on anyone's text exchange. I'm not on anyone's group email. So all I do is just read the tea leaves of what I see in the media. So I have no idea. Maybe the folks out at NBC Sports Boston are right. And Kyrie's coming back, and Danny's had it in his back pocket the whole time, and everyone else is a bunch of fools. Or NBC Sports is just in a parallel universe, and they live in Bizarro Land.
No, I think they live in Bizarro Land. I'm settled on that.
Because everything has pointed to him gone.
And that, what's, who wrote that story? Steve Kyler?
Yeah, he's got an update here, too, this Steve Kyler.
I like this guy.
I can help a little because someone,
thank you. Help.
Someone was saying, like, this is too vague, Steve Kyler. What do you have here? He says, well, I can help a little. The Celtics have been actively exploring trades and draft scenarios for players that would better line up with a future built around Tatum and Brown. Sources close to the team are skeptical that they can get Irving back, but remain open to re-signing him.
Headline, NBC Sports Boston, yeah. Durant, Davis, and Kyrie on the Celtics? It's not impossible.
Yeah, to me, this whole thing is the Celtics are getting there. You know, they're exploring plans B, C, D, and E because A is gone.
I bet you changed his phone number. I'm not even kidding.
Kyrie Irving changed his phone number.
Yep.
Wasn't there a story where they, Jimmy, what was the thing where they tried to get a hold of him? But he was in Los Angeles with LeBron or something. What was that?
Well, that he was with LeBron at.
What was the story? What was there something like that, where
go straight to voicemail?
They were trying. I thought Jimmy. If Jimmy doesn't remember, maybe I dreamt this. But they were they didn't know where he was, or they said he had a maintenance day, or he was off, and he was running around with Durant in Miami or something. It was something like that. What was it, Jimmy? Does this ring a bell?
No. It doesn't ring a bell to me.
Damn it. Anyway.
It's a good story. I mean, if you want to put that up on your website and, you know, headline, Felger says Celtics can't get Kyrie Irving in contact with, go for it.
See, I don't know anything. I don't report anything. I just rag on everyone who does. So, like, that's my role. That's what I do.
But that's a good rumor to throw out there. Celtics can't connect with Kyrie Irving.
I thought you told me this. You told me this, Jimmy. You told us this. You told the world this.
I don't think I told you that one.
Maybe I dreamt it.
You did.
It's so good it is a dream.
Super Tuesday again?
Okay, so anyway.
I think they're screwed. That's what I think.
They're
I think
porked, they're, all capital letters.
Yep. It feels more and more like they're screwed.
And by the way, the kids listening to Chris Paul on the court, that's rich. That's funny. Because Chris Paul is going to be barking at these kids, and they're going to slump their shoulders and be like, we're not listening to you either. And Clint Capella can't shoot the three either.
Good.
I think he's got three career three-point attempts.
Well, that ain't good work.
We're not listening to you either.
If anything, they should go for James Harden, who Danny wanted in a previous deal he tried to swing with OKC back in the Perk deal. And you ended up with Jeff Green and Jokic or Nikola whatever.
Got it. Anyway, there's your Celtics Minute on an Agenda-Free Friday. Did you enjoy it? Back to your calls. Just an update. No commercials. Your phones, I promise. Felger Maz from St. Louis.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.